Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin the second perek of Bechoros. You will notice the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel. The Mishnah opens up in a very similar fashion to the way the Maseches opened up in the beginning of the first perek with regard to the purchase of the offspring of a fetus of a, in this case, a cow, as opposed to a donkey, of a Gentile. We've broken down the Mishnah into three cases. The first and third cases broken down into two parts, Aleph and Beis. Halokeach ubar parosoi shel oved kechavim, one who buys the fetus of a cow that's owned by a Gentile. V'hamoicher lo, or one who sells the ubar. The ubar, of course, is a firstborn that hasn't been born yet. It's a firstborn in the case Beis, he sells it to the Gentile. Afalpi she'eno rasho, even though one is not allowed to sell large animals to idol worshippers. And that the reason behind that we discussed in the Mishnah of the first perek, and it's explained in a much more elaborate fashion in Maseches Avodah Zorah. So for our shiur, in the context of our Gemara markings shiur, we will just mention that it's something that's not allowed to do. But if one did it, v'ha mishtatef lo, one who together with a Gentile purchases an ubar, v'hamakabel mimenu, v'hanoisein lo b'kabbalah, one who receives from a Gentile a cow to develop it and eventually then split in the profits and the offspring, v'hanoisein lo b'kabbalah, or one hires a Gentile for the purpose of his cultivating the Jewish-owned cow and then splitting in the profits and the offspring. All of these cases are ptura min habechora. There is an exemption. In other words, the firstborn cow in such a case will not be bound to the laws of bechora. Shenamar bi Yisrael. The pasuk says bi Yisrael. We've jotted down the pasuk. You can see on the side of the Gemara Vayikra, Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Beis says kadesh li kol bechor peter kol rechem bivnei Yisrael ba'adam Uva Beima Li Hu. Let us correct ourselves, not in Vayikra, but rather in Sefer Shmos. And we understand that Bisrael, as the Mishnah goes on to say, Avoloi Bachirim, that the mitzvah of firstborn is binding only when you're dealing with a Jewish animal. And Jewish-owned animal, and Jewish players, we'll say, participants, and not when there is a Gentile involved, even to the extent that a Gentile is merely a partner in it. That also is grounds for exemption. Hakonim v'halavim chayovim. When it comes to the mitzvah of Bechorah, Kohanim and Levim are obligated. In other words, if they have a firstborn kosher variety animal, they will set it aside and bring it as a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash. Shelo niftaru mi b'chor behema tahora. There is no exemption for Kohanim and Levim with regard to firstborn kosher variety animal. Elo mi pinyon haben u mi petach hamor. There there are exceptions in the general realm of firstborn, and that has to do with the redemption of a firstborn human child, and with regard to the need to give to redeem a firstborn sheep and give it to someone else, to a Kohen, in the case of Petach Hamor. So that they are exempt from that as well. The Gemara opens up with a question, and we feature the topic with a topic heading that you can see in the outside margin, the Nosei, in our Shas Ozer, which is the Gemara that serves as the cornerstone to Gemara markings, and it's the Gemara that appears on your screen. We offer topic headings that we call Nosei and structural notes when markings appear in the Gemara that need explanation, and that we call Mivneh. So the Nosei here reads, Lama Maseches Becharos Poscha Davka Be'inyan Petach Hamor. Why does this Maseches open up specifically with an unkosher animal and describe the din of the firstborn of a Petach Hamor, Velo Bevachor Behema Torah, and doesn't open up its the topic, open up the issue with a kosher variety animal, the Bechor of a firstborn of a kosher variety animal, like our Mishnah here does. So the Gemara raises this question and provides answers. My area, the Tony Ubor Chamoro Bereisha, the Hodar Tony Ubor Paraso. What is it that causes the Tana to be set up, the Mishnayos to be set up, in that it opens the Masechta with, in the first parak, that is, with halachas concerning firstborn male donkey, and then in the second parak, it deals with firstborn kosher variety animal. Lisni Bereisha Ubor Paraso. Let it state first at the outset the ubar of a para, the halachas regarding a fetus of a kosher variety animal. Para really is a cow, but it's representative of kosher variety animals. The kedushas haguf, it's something that has inherent sanctity insofar that it will be brought as a sacrifice on the mizbeach. It itself, the kedushas haguf hu v'hodar lisni, and then teach. Ubar Chamoro, the Kedushas Domim, who then teach us about firstborn donkey, which is a lesser level sanctity in so far that its value has sanctity. And in fact, its Kedushas Domim isn't even something that's Beis Hamikdash related. It's a form of sanctity that is waiting for redemption onto a sheep. And as such, it's a lower level issue, a lower level kedusha. So why does the Masechta opt to open up with that and not the more significant case of firstborn kosher variety animal? Amri b'marava. So in Eretz Yisrael, they say as follows. One possibility is ibo esemo aidi de chavivole kiderabi chanina. It could be like Rabbi Chanina explained back in the first parak, that the Bechor has a certain, the rabbis have a certain fondness, the Chaviva is dear to them, because the Chamor assisted the Jewish people during their exodus from Mitzrayim, as was explained back on Daf Hay. And because of that merit, it warrants having the Masechta open up with halachas concerning donkeys. The Iboy Esemo, another approach is Aidi de Zutron Mile de Behemot Tameo. Zutron means small or confined or limited. Since the topic and the laws regarding firstborn male donkey are lesser in content, Pusik Vishadile. So the Tanoim decided to talk about it first, finish with it, and for lack of better expression, we would say, and get it out of the way. But since it's a small topic, it can be dealt with, discussed, and finished with quickly, and then get on to the larger, bulky, larger content dealing with the kosher variety firstborn animal. My feeling is that if the order would have been reversed, since it's such a small topic, it would have gotten lost, so to speak, in the shuffle. It wouldn't have received its due share of attention had it been tagged on at the end. So, as a matter of course, things that are small in nature are given priority because of their shortness. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Nachmena Marish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Hoshaya. Before going on in this Gemara, we have circled, as you can see, Rabbi Hoshaya's name. We will be focusing on his comment for quite a while. The topic heading associated with this Gemara is on the side under our nose, Rechishas Behemo, acquisition of an animal, Al Yedei Nesinas Mos, through a cash transaction, cash handing over money. Yisrael Lenochri, one case is Jew acquiring from Gentile, and number two, Nochri Li Yisrael. The money given from the first case is money given from Jew to Gentile. So the Jew is the purchaser. And the second case is Nochri Yisrael, where the Gentile is giving the money to the Jew, and the Gentile is the purchaser. Ma din habehemo legabi bechora. What is the law regarding this animal acquired through a cash exchange? In other words, we're focusing on a general topic known as kinyan mos. A kinyan is a clinching of a deal. There are different forms of kinyonim in Torah law. Some of the names include kinyan meshicha, kinyan mesira, kinyan hagba, kinyan chazaka, and kinyan mos, and a shtar. All these are different forms of clinching a deal. There are some unorthodox forms of kinyan that are simply, they're not legislated in the Talmud in an explicit fashion, but are understood to work. They can include things like a handshake or a check mark made on a barrel, and many other examples. Those are situations where a deal is clinched, meaning it reaches a point of no return. The issue that we're going to be focusing on is a kinyan mos, the giving of cash. Many of us may think, well, you know, that's the best way to clinch a deal, is just to pay money for something. But when one exposes himself to more and more sugyas in Gemara, more and more topics in Gemara, one will notice that that's not necessarily the case. That the giving of cash is not a deal clincher, necessarily. And that's what we're focusing on right now. So it was said in the name of Rabbi Hoshaya, number one, Yisrael Shinosan Mois Lo'ived Kechavim Bivehemto Bedinehem. Now this word Bedinehem will be the focus of the Gemara's discussion later. A Jew is purchasing, he is giving the money to the Gentile for his Behema, Bedinehem, through their rules. Afal pi shelo moshach kona, even though the Jew did not do the act of meshicha, a drawing act where he pulls the behema into his domain, kona, it nevertheless works. V'chayeves b'vechora, upon the cash payment to the Gentile, it becomes now a Jewish-owned animal, and hence bound to the rules of bechora. If it hasn't born any offspring now, its first offspring will be a bechor, with all that that entails. And likewise, v'oved kechavim shenasa mos Yisrael b'vehemto b'dinehem, a Gentile is a purchaser, and he gave money to the Jew for the Jewish animal, and he did it b'dinehem, afal pi shelo moshach, even though the idol worshipper did not draw the animal into his domain, kona, he thereby is said to acquire it. So now, being that the Gentile is the purchaser, it becomes a Gentile-owned animal by the mere cash payment, upoter min ha-bechora, and that will result in an exemption from bechora. At this point in the Gemara, we have a number of different markings, and we explain them under the marking explanation on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh. You'll notice we have a diamond with a colored-in tip, and this features the expression Omar Mar. You can see one over here, and further down the wide lines, a second one. We've explained in the diamond featured on the side, these are Omar Mar is highlighted. Tzitutim, these are quotes, Midivrei Rabbi Hoshaya. The Gemara will be quoting number one and number two of Rabbi Hoshaya. The Gemara will mention the quote and ask what is meant by Bedinehem. In each instance, Abaye will provide an answer. And we've highlighted Abaye's name. You can see the house form with the shaded in tip, reflecting the Abaye's response in his explanation of Halacha 1 and 2. In the course of the Gemara, after Abaye gives his explanation, the Gemara will attempt to offer alternatives. These are featured with a use of the double underline under the word v'emo. You'll see a series of these double underlines. These are what we call hatsa'os chilufios, alternative suggestions, alternatives to what Abaye explains. So now we go through this Gemara, very systematic Gemara. Omar Mar. At this point, we quote Rabbi Hoshaya's number one. Yisrael shenosan mois lovi kichavim bedinehem. Jew gives money to goy. So Jew is purchaser, and he does it bedinehem, under their rules. Afalpi shelo moshach kona. Even though there wasn't the standard form of acquisition known as mashicha, drawing the animal, the item of purchase, into the purchaser's domain. Nevertheless, kona v'chayavis b'v'chora. Since the Jew is the purchaser, then thereby becomes a Jewish-owned animal as a result of his making a cash payment for it. My bedinehem. What is meant by that expression? So in this case, and by the way, in the next lashon also, the structure will be first a suggestion that will be rejected, and then finally the answer. So we've underlined e nema, and also to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, you'll notice we've provided a long question marking because the Gemara is asking a question: my betinehem. What does that mean? And all of these lines are dealing with what. Of that question, what does it mean? E nema. If you were to say, and this is inevitably going to be rejected, but if you're to say bedinehem degufei, the laws concerning his own body, we're talking about the acquisition of people. The acquisition of people in the context of acquiring someone for servitude. The osi bekal v'chomer. Using the issue of acquiring a person, one will, through Kal v'chomer logic, come to a conclusion regarding the purchase of his animal. As follows, Im gufei koni le'Yisrael bekesef. So let's focus right now on the fact that a Jew is the purchaser. So if it were so, that a Jew, if it is so, that a Jew acquires a Gentile as a servant, known as an Eved Kenani, a person who is sold into a period of servitude. In this case, an Eved Kenani is an unlimited form of servitude. And a Jew acquires an idol worshiper as a servant through paying him cash. Dichtiv loreshes achuza. That is a pasuk, and in this pasuk hekishu hakosuv lachuza, the servant is paralleled to land. Achuza land. Ma achuza niknes bekesef ubishtar bechazaka. Just like land is acquired through, amongst other things, cash payments, documents, and acts of ownership. Chazaka is something called an act of ownership. For example, one digs up the land, or one builds a fence around the land. Af eved kenani nikna bekesef. So too, just like land, we said, is acquired through a cash payment, so too a servant is acquired through a cash payment. So being that himself, the Gentile himself, is acquired through a cash payment, his possessions all the more so. If the man himself you acquire through a cash payment, his possessions certainly should be able to be acquired through a cash payment. So that if the word bedinehem means through their laws, the laws concerning their body acquisition, and that they are acquired through cash, so kal vachomer, so all the more so his possessions, hence the cash payment to the Gentile for his cow will definitely work. Well, if that's the logic, two objections. Aleph, im kain afilu bishtar ubechazoka nami, then even with a document written concerning the transaction or a chazoka, a use of the item, then that should also work. And we don't know that that works. We know that that doesn't work for the acquisition of portables. And the second objection, vioid Yisrael, mi Yisrael, yochichu, using body acquisition and servitude acquisition as a kal vachomer to get me to article acquisition through cash payments, that argument has a hole in it. That's what the Gemara says now, that the case of Jew acquiring from Jew, yochichu, degufei, koni lebekesef, if a Jew acquires a Jew for servitude, and that is accomplished through a cash payment. However, mamono b'meshicha, a Jew acquiring from Jew his items, his articles, that does not work through cash payment. That works only through kinyan meshicha, through the drawing action. So that if bidinehem were a reference to the laws concerning their body acquisition, and that would be a springboard for a kal vachomer to lead us to the conclusion regarding cash payments for articles, that logic does not work. Elo Omar Abaye, Bidinehem Sheposko Lohem Torah. The word Bidinehem means according to the rules that the Torah has ordained regarding article acquisition from Gentiles. Well, where does the Torah talk about article acquisition with regard to Gentiles? So it's learned through an inference drawn from the following phrase. The pasuk says, "Oy kanoi miyad amisecha." This pasuk miyad means from hand. That's a reference to a meshicha transfer. And we learn from this, miyad amisecha. Amisecha means fellow Jew. Miyad amisecha hu debemeshicha. The kinyan meshicha works only when we're dealing with transfer of items from Jew to Jew. Ha miyad oved kechavim bekesef. The inference being that if it's you're dealing with a non-Jew, so transfer is done through another means, through cash payment. At this point, the Gemara goes through a number of alternative suggestions. So in the meantime, Abaye gave us an explanation of Bidinehem, meaning the laws as the Torah ordains, and he then cites the Pasuk and draws an inference from the Pasuk. However, if your proof is based on an inference from the Pasuk, there are other forms of inference that one might have used. For example, the emo miyad ove kichavim klal lo, that in the case of Jews, so meshicha works, but with regard to Gentiles, there is no kinyan that works when a Jew is acquiring from a goy, from a Gentile, unless until the item gets into the personal domain of the Jew himself. But all other forms of kinyonim, of transaction gestures, will not work. So the Gemara says, Amri lo sakadaitoch. That thought cannot arise. Why? Kal vachomer hu. This point, that to suggest that no form of kinyon of transaction gesture would work with a Gentile, that just can't be. And that we will prove now through a kal vachomer piece of logic. Im gufo koine, if I can acquire the Gentile himself through a kinyan, momono lo kol shekein, then his possessions all the more so. So that we, from this kal vachomer, we discover that kinyonim do work. The question simply is, which kinyan? Well, the emo, let us say as an alternative, miyad ove kuchavim ad deikotarti, that as opposed to a Jew where Mashiach works, as the Pasuk said, when it comes to a Gentile, we would infer you need to do two acts in order to clinch the deal. You would need a cash payment plus an act of drawing the item. Amri, to this the Gemara responds, V'lav kal v'chomer hu. Is it not proven through kal v'chomer that you don't need two? Why? Gufo ba'achas. I can acquire the Gentile himself for servitude with one kinyan. Mamono b'shtayim. Would you think that his articles, you would need two acts, two kinyanim? Certainly not. V'ema, another suggestion. Oy b'ha, o b'ha. The Torah, in saying, O konom yadam isecha, the pasuk that Abaye quoted, is saying that with regard to a Jew, there's no choice. There is the kinyan mashicha. But, and then we would infer, but when you're dealing with a Gentile, it's this or that. You have a choice. It's either through mashicha or through kesef. So this the Gemara answers, no. That's also not a reasonable way of learning the matter. Dumio dami secha. The inference that we draw from this pasuk, which focuses on Jew, the inference concerning Gentile must be similar in the following sense. Ma amisecha b'chado, just like amisecha, meaning fellow Jew, one kinyan works, the mashicha kinyan. Af oveid kuchado, nami b'chado. So too, when dealing with the Gentile, one kinyan works. And the one kinyan, as we're saying, is not mashicha, but rather it is kesef. Omar Mar. Now we quote the second point of Rav Hoshaya. Here the Gentile is the purchaser and he's using cash as a means of transfer. He's paying cash to the Jew for the Jewish owned animal. Bidinehem, that same word appears. Afalpi shalom moshach kona upoter min habachora. Even though the Gentile did not do mashicha, he nevertheless acquires, and thereby exempting the animal from the dinim of Bechora. So once again, my bedinehem. What does that word mean? And the Gemara goes through a very similar approach. It's more abbreviated than the previous Lashon, the previous section. But, and I said Lashon, but means more abbreviated than the first Halacha of Rabbi Hoshaya. If you are going to think that b'dineim means dineim of body acquisition in the context of servitude, mishum da'osi b'kal v'chomer, the idea of cash payment for article would follow from a kal v'chomer logic involving body acquisition. Im gufo shel Yisrael koni le bekesef, if it is so that a Gentile can acquire a Jew into servitude through a cash payment, dichtiv mikesef miknasoi, from this pasuk we learn that the Gentile had paid the Jew cash and thereby acquired him in servitude. Mamono lo kol shekein, so certainly the Jew's article, in this case, the animal, should be able to be acquired through a cash payment. Rejection. The Gemara rejects this and says, Yisrael, mi Yisrael, yochichu. This type of logic can be undone by simply looking at a transaction from Jew to Jew. Degufo koni bekesef, when a Jew acquires a fellow Jew through a cash payment and he acquires him for servitude, mamono b'meshicha. And yet, his articles he acquires through the act of drawing. So you see that though body acquisition is done through cash, that does not shed light on how articles are acquired. Therefore, we have to come up with a new explanation for what bedinehem means. Elo amar Abai, bedinehem sheposko lohem Torah. Following the laws that the Torah ordains concerning transactions between Gentile and Jew, when the Gentile is acquiring, when he's the purchaser, the pasuk says, "V'chisimkru memkar lamisecha." And as we saw before, we're going to focus on the word lamisecha, which means with a fellow Jew, and then draw an inference. And in this pasuk, it's the same pasuk as was quoted before, which dealt with kinyan meshicha, the act of drawing. And we learn as follows, la misecha b'meshicha, when you're dealing with a fellow Jew, it's through an act of drawing. Ha la'oved k'chavim b'kesef. However, if it were done with someone else, with a non-Jew, so then the act of acquisition is accomplished through cash payment. And therefore, when the Oved Kohavim, when the Gentile made a cash payment to the Jew, the Gentile thereby acquires the Jewish-owned animal, thereby it becoming exempt now from Bechora. And as we saw before, a list of alternative suggestions that will be rejected. The Amal, L'Oved Kohavim, Klal Lo. Maybe it is so that when you're dealing with a Gentile, when the Gentile is purchasing something, so no formal kinyonim work to clinch the deal until the item is actually in his physical domain. So the Gemara says, Amri, answer to that, Lav Kal V'Chomer, who? Is it not through Kal V'Chomer that we see that kinyonim do work? They do clinch deals. Im Gufo Kona Mamono Lo Kol Shekein, if a Gentile can acquire a Jew for servitude through cash payment, then certainly the kinyan will work for acquiring the Jew's possessions. Well, Amal, still another suggestion, Le'ove Kuchavim ad di'ikotarti. When you're dealing with a Gentile, he would have to do two acts of acquisition, two kinyonim, and only then would he acquire. No, the Gemara rejects this. Lav Kal V'Chomer hu. This too, it can be rejected through Kal V'Chomer logic. Gufo be'echod, the Gentile acquires a Jew through a singular kinyon. Mamono b'shtayim, would you think that the Jew's article would need to have two acts of kinyon done? Certainly not. Well, the Amal, but still, maybe, oy b'ha, the Gentile has a choice, either cash or meshicha. The more answers, no. Dumio dami secha. We are paralleling the issue of dealing with Gentile to the case of dealing with a Jew. Ma amisecha v'achas, just like in the case of the Jew, it was through one act of kinyan. It happened to be meshicha. Af ovik kuchavim nami v'achas. So too, when dealing with the Gentile, it's going to be only one act that will work, and it will be a cash payment. As we go on in this sugya, which deals with kinyonim, we continue into a new angle, focusing on Shitas Ameimar. On the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading that we've written, Shitas Ameimar, Meshicha Ba'akum Koine. This is in contrast with the approach we have been taking till now when we were focusing on Rav Hoshaya. Ameimar says that the act of drawing when dealing with a Gentile does work. So that if Meshicha works with a Gentile, ma hu doresh mi la'amisecha shebolema'et. So then what is he going to do with the la'amisecha expression that we saw up till now in the Pasuk, which up till now we were saying that with Jew, so Meshicha works, seeming to say that not with Gentile. Comes along Ameimar and says that when dealing with a Gentile, Meshicha does work. So what is the Lamisecha word going to exclude? You'll notice that in approaching this Gemara, we have a long question marking. So to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice a shin that's encircled, a she'ilah, with a vertical dashed line indicating all of these lines are in formation of the question. Before learning the Gemara itself, in analysis, the Gemara will make reference to Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, which we are not going to explain yet, but if we were to accept Ameimar as subscribing to Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, then things will work out. However, if Ameimar subscribes to Reish Lakish, then we will run into a problem. And that's what the skeleton of this particular long question. Exactly what Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish happen to hold, we can say ahead of time that Rabbi Yochanan in terms of kinyonim in general, we're not talking about Gentiles yet, just in terms of transactions between Jews. Rabbi Yochanan says that Mashiach is not something that is used on a Torah level. Torah means midoraisa. As far as the Torah is concerned, cash does work, and drawing in and of itself does not work. So cash is what the Torah expects to be used as a kinyan, Jew to Jew, between two Jews. So if you take that approach, then we can understand how Amemar comes to his conclusion that Mashiach with Goyim does work. In other words, from Jew to Jew, money, cash payment is what clinches deals and not Mashiach. And therefore, and then we use the inference from the word lamisecha and says, that's true by Jews. But by Goyim, then cash does not work, but Mashiach will work. However, if Amemar, Amemar is a later Amora. Therefore, we have to analyze Amemar in light of earlier authorities. Amemar, who says Mashiach with Goyim does work, how is he going to darshan the word lamisecha when it comes to Reish Lakish's opinion? Reish Lakish, also an early Amoraic authority. Reish Lakish happens to hold that from Jew to Jew, Mashiach does work. The Torah, when dealing from Jew to Jew in transactions, the Jew uses Mashiach, not Kesef. So if from Jew to Jew you do Mashiach, how is Amemar going to say Gentile to Jew also Mashiach is going to work in light of the fact that you have a limitation expression, the word Lamisecha? And as we had seen earlier, Lamisecha would mean, if you follow Reish Lakish says from Jew to Jew you use Mashiach, leaving you to think from Jew to Gentile, not Mashiach. But Amemar says yes, Mashiach. So what is Amemar going to do with the word Lamisecha according to Reish Lakish? That is the question. Now let us learn this inside in the Gemara. Amri, the Gemara asks a question. Ulamemar di Omar, Mashiach bevikuchavim koine. Amemar, in contrast to Rav Hoshaya, Amemar says that Mashiach with Goyim does clinch deals. Ha nicha I savar lo k'Rabbi Yochanan. Things will be able to be understood if Amemar subscribes to the early authority of Rabbi Yochanan, who says Devar Torah mois koinos Mashiach lo kanya, that from the Torah standpoint, without later rabbinic rulings, from the Torah standpoint, cash is the means of clinching deals, and not Mashiach. Ahani lamisecha, the word lamisecha, which we said was a limitation expression, will work and benefit us as follows. Lamisecha bekesef, lo'ovei kechavim b'mashicha. When dealing with fellow Jew, so the Torah says, use cash to clinch deals. When dealing with Gentiles, you will use Mashiach. And hence Amemar's conclusion that when dealing with Gentiles, Mashiach is the kinyan. Ela'i savar lo k'Reish Lakish. If, however, Amemar holds by Reish Lakish, the Omar Mashiach mifureshes min haTorah, that the act of drawing is the form of kinyan when dealing with Jews, Jew to Jew, Lamisecha b'Mashiach, Uloivei kechavim b'Mashiach. It's going to then come out following Amemar, who, according to Reish Lakish, would result in the following: that when it comes to Jews, Mashiach is used. Amemar says when dealing with Gentiles, Mashiach is used. So Lamisecha lamali. Then what does the limitation expression of Lamisecha accomplish? What does it come to exclude? The Gemara answers, Amri, Lamisecha ato machzir oino. In this pasuk, there is a reference to another area of halacha called oino. Oino is called overcharging. So, the Torah is says that when you make a deal with a fellow Jew, you should be very careful not to violate the sin of onah, of overcharging. So the inference would be as follows: Amri lamisecho ata machzir onah. When it comes to transactions between Jew and Jew, if you are guilty of overcharging, you must return the excess amount to the wronged party. However, if you were dealing with a Canaanite, you do not have an obligation to return the onah. The Gemara says, but I don't really need lamisecha for that. Lekinani, when dealing with a Canaanite, me'al toinu es achiv nafka. The Torah says, do not overcharge your brother. Your brother representing someone in the fold to the exclusion of a Canaanite. So then I already have an exclusion of Canaanite from this other phrase. And then I come back to what is Lamisecha going to accomplish. So the Gemara answers, I actually need two limitation expressions. Chad b'knaini, v'chad b'hektish. One is referring to overcharge with regard to Canaanite, and the other is referring to overcharge with regard to Hektish, the realm of the Beis HaMikdash, and the issue of sanctified items redeemed from the Beis HaMikdash. Utsrihi, I need two sources. I need one. I cannot necessarily learn one from the other. De'i kos av rachmona chad, had the Torah written only one limitation expression regarding this realm called overcharging, hava mina liknani hu de'ein loy oino, that only with regard to the Canaanite is there no ono'o restriction. Aval hegdish yesh loy oino. However, with regard to hegdish, there is a problem of oino. Let us say someone redeems something from Hegdish and not pay its actual market value. In other words, you rip off Hegdish. So I might have thought that in the case of Hegdish, there is a rule concerning Onah, that the rules of Onah are binding. Kamash Malon, through the additional limitation expression in the Pasuk, we see that with regard to Hegdish also, you do not have this Onah restriction. So up to this point, we've explained how a Meimar can learn Meshicha B'Ovid Kechavim Koine, and at the same time subscribe to Reish Lakish that says Jew to Jew also Meshicha is Koine. And as far as the Lamisecha word, there is that has a role in the case of Oino'o. And as we said, Lamisecha, there is a din of Oino'o. With Canaanite, there is no din of Oinah. Ha Nicha, the Gemara says, this analysis will make sense, Lamanda Omar, Gzelo Osir. That to commit outright theft from a Canaanite, the Torah says that is forbidden. So outright theft of literally stealing something from a Canaanite, the Torah says that is prohibited. There's an opinion that says it is prohibited. Hainu de itzdirich krol le mishri oino. Therefore, I need a pasuk that will suggest to me that oino, which is also a form of misconduct in the realm of finances, it's a lesser type of theft, if you will. This is the issue of overcharging. So therefore, I need to tell you a pasuk. I need a pasuk to tell me that oino is something that is tolerated. In other words, outright theft is forbidden, but ono is tolerated. Eloi sovar law, if it were so that Amemar holds kemandi omar gezelo shel kenaini muter, that theft from a Canaanite, outright theft from a Canaanite is tolerated, ono mi bayo, would I have to tell you that ono would be tolerated? That would be obvious. Amri, we answer. E sovar law kemadam ar gezelo muter. If a Meimar would adopt that approach, that outright theft from a Canaanite is something that is tolerated, Al korchach k'Rabbi Yochanan svirole. Then we will be forced into saying that Amemar will hold like Rabbi Yochanan that lamisecha, that limitation expression goes back to the different issues of kinyonim, namely that lamisecha bekesef and akum b'mishicha. That's what how we explained Rabbi Yochanan earlier, who said that from the Torah standpoint, cash payment works between Jews, and the word lamisecha would mean only between Jews and not with a Gentile, and with a Gentile you will have to use mishicha, which is exactly what Amemar said. So up till this point we've been dealing with Amemar, and Amemar said that mishicha does work with Gentiles. We have also learned Reb Oshaya's opinion that said cash, which was in contrast to Amemar. Reb Oshaya said that cash payment works with Gentiles and not Mishicha. We now raise a question. The question will be focused on or focused against he who holds that mo'os koinos, so that we can say that this meisve, which represents an attack or a question, is directed, as the Gemara will say right after the framed section. You can see the Gemara says v'amris mo'os koinos. If you are to say that mo'os, that cash payment does work, well, we know that Reb Oshaya had said that. So the Gemara asks Meisve. We present a Tanaic source, and we should point out ahead of time that we have a Nosea topic heading that we also note is a Hemshech, is simply a continuation of the Sugya before. This doesn't represent a new Sugya, but the Gemara will be occupied with Deos Shonos, different opinions, Lahazbir, to explain Hamokor, the source that deals with Halokeach Grutos Min Oivid Kechovim, which we will see what that means as we go on in the Gemara. But the purpose of this topic heading is to show that this is the point of the Gemara from here till the end of the Omid. So the Gemara asks, there is a source that says Halokeach Grutos Min Oivid Kechovim, one who buys grutos, which are pieces of silver filings or chunks of silver that he buys from an idol worshipper. Umotzo bohen avoides kechavim, and he finds amongst the chunks of silver that he bought, he finds an idol. Of course, it is forbidden for Jews to purchase idols, and it's forbidden for Jews to have any dealings with idols. So here you have a Jew that purchased a heap of silver pieces and found in the heap an idol. If prior to the cash payment he did an act of Meshicha, it can be returned. In other words, Meshicha, the act of Meshicha, does not acquire. If after he made a cash payment he then did an act of drawing, Yoylich Hano Liyam Hamelach. So then he has to take that which he acquired and put it in the salt sea. In other words, that's an expression meaning he must absorb the loss. In other words, he made a cash payment and he got in exchange this pile of silver with an idol in it. So he'll have to take the idol and throw it into the salt sea. The Rashi points out that an idol in the possession of a Jew has no bittul. It can't. There's nothing that can be done with regard to releasing the prohibition associated with that idol. So now the Gemara raises the issue, the question: Vi amris mois koinois. If, as Reb Oshaya said, that cash payment clinches a deal, meshicha lomali, why at the end of this source is there any reference made to the meshicha act? He already acquired it through the cash payment. So the Gemara answers, Hacha b'mayaskinon, shekibel olav ladun b'dine Yisrael. Where the Gentile agreed to accept upon himself the laws applying to Jews and Jewish kinyonim. Oh, so if he accepted upon himself the laws of Jews, therefore I see why Meshicha is the deal clincher. Well then, Ihachi, if he accepted the laws of Jews upon himself, then Mo'ois Lomali, why is there any need for a cash payment in order to describe a clinched deal? The Meshicha would clinch the deal. And just to review the point, that we see the deal is clinched by the fact that at the end of the source, the Jew has to absorb the loss. That's it. He can't ask for his money back. The deal was clinched. But if you're saying that we're talking about a Gentile who accepted upon himself Dina Yisrael, then why is there any need for the cash payment to describe a clinched deal? Hachi ko'omar. Thusly, we are to explain. Im ad sheloi nosan mos, if he hasn't yet given money. This is the explanation of the Sefer. If he hasn't yet given money, I moshach in. If he did an act of Meshicha, then that's it. Then the Meshicha alone works. The I loi, loi. If he didn't do Meshicha, so there is no deal. So that with this this Hochi Komar explanation of the Gemara, in fact, since we're setting up the sources dealing with Kibol Atzmo Lodun B'dinei Yisrael, Meshicha is the deal clincher. Well then, Ihochi Kashio Resha. Then the Resha, the first part of this source, will represent a problem. Why? Because in the Resha, it said that if he does Meshicha, you can still back out. It said very clearly, Im ad shelo nosamos moshach yachzir. If prior to a cash payment, Meshicha was done, you can back out. But you just got finished saying that the source is dealing with a Gentile that was mekabel olav lodun b'dinei Yisrael. Meshicha should have clinched the deal. How can the source say yachzir? Omar Abaye, Resha mishum de'ika mekach tois. In the Resha, the problem is that there was a fundamental mistake or a misunderstanding in the basic deal. In other words, the Jew had ordered a pile of silver, not an idol. When he got an idol in the deal, that's not what he expected. It's a mekach tos. That's called a purchase made under mistaken circumstances. And that's why it can be undone. Amale Rova Resha Mishum Deiko Mekartos Seifa Leko Mekartos. Are you saying that only in the Resha there is Mekartos and in the Seifa there is no Mekartos? Well, in the Seifa there was also. It's the same scenario where the Jew was acquiring an idol in the deal which he did not have any intention for. So Abaye's explanation, as far as Rava is concerned, is untenable. Because Abaye is suggesting that only the Resha is a Mekartos. Elo Omar Rava. Rather, Rava comes up with his explanation. Resha v'seifa mekachtos. Both the Resha and Seifa are, in fact, a mekachtos. What we will have to explain then, if that be the case, then why is there a differentiation between the Resha, where we say the deal can be reversed, and the Seifa, where the deal is not reversed? And he explains. Resha delo yohiv zuzi lo mechzi. We're dealing with what kind of public impression is created. In the Resha, where no cash was paid, there was only an act of drawing, so it doesn't look, in the eyes of the public, like an idol owned by a Jew. And again, we're dealing with an impression that's created. So according to Rava, without cash being paid, people will understand that it's a mekach tos, and hence it could be undone. It doesn't look like an idol owned by a Jew. Again, look. The issue is looks. Seifa, the Yohiv Zuzi, in the case of the Seifa, where in addition to the drawing, there was also a cash payment. Mechzi, it appears, Kavodis Kechovim, B'ad Yisrael, it looks like an idol owned by a Jew. And as we indicated earlier, that once a Jew owns an idol, there is no point of return. There's no salvation that can be enjoyed. Well, that's Rava's explanation. But what about Abaye? How can Abaye possibly say that the Reisha is Mekachtos and the Seifa not? The Abaye, Omar Loch, Reisha Mekachtos, the Reisha is a Mekachtos de lo Yoda. He didn't know there was an idol. He didn't know at all. Taha lo Yohiv le Zuzi. There was no cash transferred. And until cash is paid out, people don't look into the purchase very carefully. Seifa lav mekach tois hu. The seifa, though, we cannot explain as a mekach tois, as a mistaken transaction. Why not? The kevon de yohiv zuzi, since there was a cash payment, ki komoshich, when the drawing of the article is done, in this case the pile of silver, people are expected to investigate, units to look into it and then draw it, so that if cash was paid, you would expect that before he draws it he would look into it. And being that that's the case, there's an understanding that people look into the item that they are buying after they paid cash. So apparently this guy knew that there was an idol there, and he drew it anyway, so he must absorb the loss. The Rashi explains a little differently. He says, and by the fact that he didn't bother looking into what he's drawing, he apparently is being moichel. He is being forgiving on it. And the drawing that he does after a cash payment is a full-fledged meshicha with the intention of accepting whatever he happens to get. And when he discovers that there's an idol there, it's, we say, too bad. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi Rashi explains, takes on a different approach to that we've been using till now, and that is that he has not, we're talking about a goy, the Gentile, who is selling the pile of silver, has not accepted upon himself the Dinei Yisrael. Rav Ashi Omar, Midoresha Meshicha Eino Koina, from the fact, or from that which is taught in the ratio that Meshicha does not clinch the deal, as we saw, it can be reversed. Seifa Nami Meshicha Eino Koina. In the Seifa also, Meshicha does not clinch the deal. V'aidi Detona Reisha Moshach, and since the Reisha used the expression Moshach, Tono Seifa Nami Moshach. The Seifa uses the term Moshach also, even though the Moshach does not clinch the deal. Now, let us take a look at the Rashi. Rav Ashi Omar. You see the Rashi across, really. Oilom b'shelo kibolov lodun medina Yisrael. We are not talking about someone who accepted upon himself the rules of the Jews. The lo kashya seifa l'reboshaya. And with that in mind, the seifa, which was mashma that Meshicha clinches the deal, is not a kasha on Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya, we had seen on Omer Aleph, saying that only Mo's Koinos. Ude Koamris, e Mo's Koinos Meshicha Lomali. If it's so that Mo's are Koinos, that the cash payment is what clinches the deal, so then why is there any reference to Meshicha made in the Seifa? So the Gemara answers, or Rashi explains, Meshicha lav davka. The Meshicha mentioned in the Seifa, where we saw the deal was clinched, was not taught specifically. Dimi de Reisha Meshicha eino koina, from the fact that the Reisha, we see that Meshicha does not clinch the deal. The Kotoni Yachzir, the Reisha said the money is given back, the silver is given back to the Goy. Seifonami Meshicha Eino Koina. The Meshicha in the Seifa also is not what causes the clinching of the deal. Now, and we continue in the Gemara, Ravina Omar. Ravina, and thanks to Rashi, we know to explain that Ravina goes back to the approach we were suggesting before, that the Gentile was Mekabel Lodun Bedine Yisrael, Mide Seifa Meshicha Koina. from the fact that in the Sefer Mashiach does clinch the deal, because Mashiach is the means of kinyonim dealing between, when dealing with Jews, and this Gentile accepted upon himself the procedure of Jews. Reisha nami Mashiach koine. In the Reisha, Mashiach does clinch the deal. For Reisha hochi ko'omar. And as far as the text is concerned, it is saying thusly, im loy nosan veloy moshach yachzir. So that the negation word that appears in the resha, where it's an im ad sheloy nosan, it's the low nosan is going on. There was no cash payment, nor was there any mashicha. Nothing by way of kinyonim was done. Then yachzir. Well, the Gemara asks, my yachzor. If no transaction was made, no cash nor mashicha, then what's the yachzor? What are you backing out of? I understand that if a kinyan was made, so I'm backing out of the transaction, and the transaction is reversed. The item is given back, if you will, or the cash is given back. But if no transaction took place, no cash was paid, no drawing of article, so what is to be returned? Yachzor bedvorim. You can back out of your word. In other words, you have a Jew that made a deal with the Gentile. The Jew said, I am going to buy your grutos. And we're now saying that you can back out of your word. Kosovar, he is of the opinion, Dvorim yesh bohem mishum mechusrei amona. Dvorim means your word. Your word to go ahead with the deal. One who doesn't keep his word gains the ill repute of a mechusrei amona, an untrustworthy person. He's labeled as a mechusrei amona, lacking in trust. Vehani mili Yisrael mi Yisrael dekaimu b'diburayu. This is when you're dealing between Jews who kaimu, fulfill diburayu, their words, so that the issue of keeping your word is something that has a quasi-binding nature. Avol Yisrael me'oved kichavim, when a Jew is dealing with an idol worshipper, the inu lo kaimi diburayu, idol worshippers and Canaanites are people that they don't keep their word, so then there is no expectation on my part to keep my word when dealing with them. Hence, we are able to understand the source, the Reisha and Sefer, according to Ravina as well. So that we have gone through this sugya, essentially presenting from the beginning of the sugya, Rabbi Shaya, who said, Mo'os Konos, and not Mashicha. And we saw Ameimar Shita that Mashicha is Kone when dealing with the Gentile, and not Mo'os. And we then presented this Tanaic source, which involved a Jew purchasing a pile of silver with a goy, and in the source there was reference to cash payments and Mashiach done, and we attempted to understand how this source can be understood according to the different authorities that we saw presented earlier. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.